The Red Sox got it done last night, holding off the Yankees to reach their first American League Championship Series since 2013. It's not actually that far back, but still, I mean, feels like it sometimes.
It's far enough. That's 5 years without getting to the ALCS. Come on. Title town.
In case you're wondering whose voice that is, that's Radio Boston's own Chris Sidorick. I'll finish setting up and we'll get back. No. But they
you
still
can't give me an opening like that. Come on.
The Sox still have a couple of series to win. Next, the Houston Astros, who happen to have beaten the Sox four times this year. Bad omen? Or just lulling the Stros into a false sense of security? Joining me now is the person I just mentioned, Chris. How you doing?
What's going on, Evan?
Not much. So, last night's game, it was a big game for the obvious reason. I mean, the Sox moving forward. Was also steeped in history. Give us a little perspective.
Well, Red Sox-Yankees, you're talking about maybe the greatest rivalry in all of sports. And this was, believe it or not, the first time that these two teams have met in the playoffs since 2004. 2004, obviously, cowboy up the incredible 3-0 comeback. So you were expecting to see some drama between these two teams, and it didn't start out right away that way. But by game two, Yankees beat the Red Sox at Fenway, and Aaron Judge, of all people, he's supposed to be a nice guy, this is kind of out of character for him, walks by the Red Sox clubhouse blasting New York, New York, which they play at Yankee Stadium all the time. So anyway, the Sox turn around and win game three in an absolute blowout, 16-1. When teams tend to score a lot of runs like that, a lot of times they come back a little bit lackluster on the offensive side the next game. But they ended up finishing it off in game four. That's actually four consecutive wins now for the Red Sox at Yankee Stadium in the playoffs,
that
which is
phenomenal.
That can't
feel good for New York, New York.
Exactly. And that led to this scene in the Red Sox clubhouse. Yeah. I don't know about you. There is nothing better to me as a sports fan than teams who legitimately don't like each other. And it's starting to feel like these two teams don't like each other, which is great. The rivalry is back.
Oh, but it's over.
Yes.
Not over. Yeah. I mean, let's still talk
Yankees,
about what
over.
Turned out to be a great game. I mean, talk to me about Rick Porcello's start. He comes in, has a shutout for the first four innings, runs into some trouble against Gary Sanchez in the fifth, lets up a run. What'd you think about the call, Alex Cora's call, to pull him when he did? That's Red Sox manager Alex Cora.
Yeah, I understand it. I think you could make an argument both ways on that. Porcello was cruising for most of the game. He did run into a little bit of trouble in the fifth. I thought more questionable was pulling Chris Sale in the eighth inning, and we can get to that. But really, the reason to question the move to pull Porcello is because the bullpen has just been so bad. And really, you don't know who your go-to guys are in the bullpen, which is always a troubling thing. But he went to Matt Barnes in the sixth, got a 1-2-3 inning, clean seventh from Ryan Brazier. And then Chris Sale, as I said, in the eighth. That is a really interesting move, and we'll come back to that. But Chris Sale gets through the eighth, doesn't put on a runner, and that brings us to the ninth inning with a 3-run lead. You would think that'd be safe, right?
No, I wouldn't, because I've watched a lot of Red Sox games over the years, and I know what happens in the ninth inning. And it seemed like it might. They start the inning up 4-1, then Craig Kimbrel comes in to close. He's usually pretty automatic, but we need drama. It's the Red Sox game. It's the ninth inning. Walk us through it.
So I couldn't believe it. I'm watching this game, and he walks Aaron Judge on four straight pitches and doesn't even look close. I mean, his control is off. He ends up loading the bases, hits Neil Walker, so walks in a run, essentially. And then Gary Sanchez comes up. Now, Gary Sanchez, big-time home run hitter. And here he is, can win it all with one swing of the bat, and that led to this.
Here's Gary Sanchez. That'll be a 3-2. Bases loaded, one out. And here's the payoff. Swung on, a high fly to left. Benintendi back on the track, near the wall, makes the catch. The third run scores. That's Didi. Echeverria holds it second. Sanchez didn't miss by much.
Didn't miss by much is underselling it. I was watching Benintendi back up, and it was absolutely terrifying. And I wasn't the only one that felt that way. Xander Bogaerts was asked about it after the game. He actually said, quote, Gary Sanchez hit that ball up in the air, and I'm like, oh, my God. Then you've got Benintendi slowly going back to the wall, and I'm like, stop going back. You're making me nervous. He's making us all nervous.
I mean, you could hear it. You could hear it, the breath of the entire stadium.
And what's crazy is in the old days, that play goes the Yankees' way. He hits the home run. I mean, I'm Aaron Boone, their manager. 2003, that home run goes over the wall. But it feels like post-2004, post-curse world, it didn't shake out that way.
Here he comes, the 1-2. Bouncing ball, going to be a tough play. Nunez gloves, throws, and in time for the out. The Red Sox will celebrate, but there will be a challenge you can guarantee. Here comes the call. He is out, and that's it. The Boston Red Sox win the division series.
Even on that last play, they had to go to a challenge. This team is not short on drama.
I mean, radio
sure.
is great in that you get the excitement, but you really can't appreciate the play, which was amazing. I mean, just with Eduardo Nunez getting that ball, deciding to throw what could easily have been an errant throw and costing the game. But
I would argue that throw was an errant throw, and it was the incredible stretch by Steve Pierce that saved maybe not only that game, but the series itself, because you've used Chris Sale in the eighth inning. If they lose that game, and if that throw had gotten past Steve Pierce at first base, they would have lost the game. You don't, probably aren't starting Chris Sale in game five. Who do you start? David Price? Yikes.
Well, David Price isn't going to disappear for the rest of the playoffs, so we have to get that. I get that arm working.
I don't know that I'd start him, to be honest. I might put him in the bullpen. It's so obvious the guy cannot handle the spotlight.
Well, at least they have a manager who seems to have acquitted himself well in this series. Certainly outmanaged Aaron Boone, who stuck with pitchers for too long on several occasions. So, naturally, the question becomes, how will Alex Cora apply his instincts to Houston, who the Sox will start playing on Saturday? And after the game last night, reporters asked him how he was thinking about it.
They have a good team. What they did to the Indians, that was impressive. They can pitch. They're playing good defense. They're swinging the bat well. I've been talking about them the whole season. So now we go. You know, that's a 7. They know me. I know them. It should be fun.
And he doesn't mean that in a vague way. When he says, they know me, I know them, he was a bench manager with the Astros last year. Does that give him an advantage? He knows how the team works. Or does it give the Astros an advantage? They know what's going on in his head.
It's an interesting question, and we'll kind of have to see how it plays out. I don't know. I think Alex Cora has shown that as the manager, he's willing to do whatever it takes to win, regardless of what it might mean for the future. See the Chris Sale move from last night. It's interesting. He brings Sale in the eighth inning. Last year, the Astros manager, A.J. Hinch, actually did almost the same exact thing with their ace, Justin Verlander. And Cora criticized it at the time. He said, what are you doing? If we lose this game, we don't have him for game five. Seems to have reversed his thinking about that. Maybe being in the hot seat made the difference.
Well, he saw that it worked.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a risk-reward thing, I think.
So this game against the Astros, the series against the Astros, a rematch, chance for vindication. Last year in the division series, the Astros beat the Sox and then went on to win it all. So let's do like a pre-postmortem here. Like, let's say we're talking in 10 days or something, and the Sox have lost. Why do you think they will have lost? That is, if things go wrong, what do you expect it is that will go wrong?
Pitching. 100% pitching. You've got Chris Sale, who looked pretty good in game one. He'll go. But after that, where do you go? It is, and then also the bullpen is a problem. So I think it's pitching up and down the roster. We'll have to see kind of how they match up against Astros hitters.
And the Astros pitching is phenomenal.
Yes. I mean, the Astros are a great team. They are peaking at the right time. I am very worried for the Red Sox in this series. I think if I were a betting man, I would have to pick the Astros. And I hope I'm wrong.
I think football folks in Vegas agree with you, right? The line favors the Astros at the moment. I mean, so let's say we go the other way. 10 days from now, we're talking, and the Red Sox have pulled it out. What went right? What did they do right? How did they pull it out?
I think the key is going to be offense. If they're able to score and potentially score first in a lot of these games, I think that will really make the difference. According to ESPN, playoff teams who have scored first are 14-2 this year in the playoffs. It's always great to get those runs on the board early.
So look forward to Saturday, see if they can put up some runs early.
Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be an interesting weekend.
That's Radio Boston's Chris Siderick. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Evan Horowitz. This is Radio Boston.
Start spreading the news.